Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network, simulcast live on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on VegasInsider.com. We have close to a million views per day. Check out my site, PritchardsPicks.com. I get about six views a day. Also, Tim Donaghy, good buddy of mine, former NBA official from 1994.
It's byline.com. You can click listen live and hear the shows that away.
Featured on, he's been a former NBA ref from 1994 to 2007. He has a sports betting site now called Ref Picks. I'm one of the featured handicappers on that site. Be sure and check that out. This is The Odds Couple, a sports show, specifically a sports betting show. I would like to welcome one of the mainstays and anchor of The Odds Couple. Join me on this show back in September. Seems like about 15 years of doing shows with this guy. Very good friend of mine, Anthony Padilla. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy to be here. It seems like it's been that long because I think it's been about that long since I've lost. I've decided I don't break records, I set them. So it's always good to be back for another week of fun. And earlier, that's the thing I'm not used to yet. Every week it's an hour earlier.
Well, we used to be 12 noon. We decided to go 11 o'clock, knowing that Anthony is a late night dude. He has his own show. He's a headliner at LVH. We're moving it now to 10 o'clock Las Vegas time, thinking that eventually you'll just bail, but you just keep coming back.
Hey, I don't have to show up, but then these people are going to not know how to bet winners.
You know, I'm thinking maybe I'll tell Scott Whitney, the executive producer, maybe we should start going at 6 a.m. for the show, because that's about what time you get in at night.
I can just come straight over from LVH, yeah.
So how was your week?
Great, man. This baseball season is, I love it. This is a great first couple of weeks of baseball that we've got already.
I noticed there's something different.
Oh, you want to talk about that?
You
want to talk about
did
that?
Because
I believe last week when we were here, we had agreed. In fact, you brought it up because, I shaved my head
I thought you got a new earring or something.
But No. See, now you realize what you did there. I shaved my head in honor of Jeremy Wien's mom, the host of my show, and she's undergoing chemo, so we shaved our heads. And last week we did this little thing, and you were supposed to join us because you had said you were going to shave your head as well. Not only did you not shave your head, you bailed before we even did it. You took off.
If you actually were paying attention, I was signing autographs.
No, you weren't.
And I didn't have time to shave my head. And now I come to find out it sounds like I missed the boat.
Validating your own parking ticket is not signing autographs,
okay.
Scott.
You got me there. Well, let's get started with what say you. NFL schedule for the upcoming season posted yesterday. First game in September, early September, Thursday night, the Baltimore Ravens, the defending Super Bowl champions. In the past, the Super Bowl champion gets to play at home. In this case, the Ravens, because the Baltimore Orioles have a day game, I believe, on that day, and they share the same parking lot, the Ravens and the Orioles, and the owner of the Orioles, not a real fan favorite, would not oblige. So the Ravens have to open up on the road. It's a playoff game rematch. The Denver Broncos, stacked, locked and loaded, and not very happy, okay? They lost in the last 30 seconds of a game at home, Mile High Stadium, against the Baltimore Ravens, who ultimately went on to win the Super Bowl, which I am still in shock. As a professional sports bettor, I pride myself in seeing things before they happen. This has already happened, and I still can't see it. I still can't believe the Ravens won the Super Bowl. But the NFL schedule, opening weekend, Thursday night in September, the Ravens are going to be on the road taking on the Denver Broncos. What say you?
Don't care. I don't know why we've developed this thing where we have to see last year's two big teams open the next season. Like, that's basically what they've started to do with the schedule. It doesn't matter. It's different teams. It's a different.
Are you having a bad day? You seem in a foul mood.
No, you asked what I think. Is it? I'm not giving you the right answer.
No,
what do you want me
really
to tell you about this?
No.
Would you
wow, I love football. I think this is exciting. How exciting is this for the fans? You're a fan.
You're right.
It's the
and
Broncos
I'm answering
getting
as a
chance
fan
to get revenge on the Baltimore
not,
Ravens.
It's not revenge. Opening up a season week one is not revenge for the playoffs last year. So what, if you win this game? Ha ha, Baltimore, you won the Super Bowl, but we beat you in week one. Who cares? It's not revenge.
I care.
Then if it really matters, put them in the last week of the season. That if that's how important that game is, make it the last game of the season when it will actually
mean
something.
I'm glad you're not in charge of scheduling. You'd probably have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Detroit Lions to kick off the season.
No, but what does week one matter? I mean, I know it matters in the scheme of things, but not when you're
when
trying
you
to make that argument.
You only have 17 not games. When
yes,
every game is magnified.
From that standpoint, I'm asking you, why does it matter in terms of, wow, they were in the playoffs, this was a huge thing to end last season, and let's put them in week one when everybody's still trying to figure it out? No, if it's that important of a game, then put it at a more meaningful time of the season.
I think it's great. They couldn't have come up with a better opening game to kick off the 2013 pro football season. You're talking about a Ravens team that won the Super Bowl. They were a Cinderella story. The only person on the planet that saw this coming was Nick Bonsanto, and I say that because Nick tells me every single time I see him. It's like, Nick, okay, you've had one winner in 3 years. Congratulations. Hey, I see Al, the board man, just walked in. Something, okay, just wanted to let you know. All right. Now, Anthony, talking about the upcoming NFL football season, it's interesting because and we don't want to spend too much time on it because it is a few months away. But it's nice to know they announced in December who the opponents would be. But as far as the schedule being posted, they didn't do that until yesterday. And we have some marquee matchups. I see that the Denver Broncos are taking on the New England Patriots. The Houston Texans have been. I look at strength of schedule as a professional sports bettor. And I noticed the AFC West, a la the Denver Broncos, somewhat of a favorable schedule. Part of that has to do with the fact they play in a weak division. They get to play the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Chargers six times. But I think the Chiefs will be much improved with Andy Reid, Alex Smith. They picked up some studs on defense. What say you?
I'm looking at a schedule here with nothing but marquee matchups. You've got the Dallas Cowboys taking on the New York Giants.
Oh, wow. Really? We have to talk about your Cowboys.
You've got the Cowboys taking on the Chiefs in week two.
In Kansas City.
Then the Rams
City.
In Kansas City. That's going to be a tough game. Yeah.
I might go to that
specifically
game.
Answer
you know,
that question.
We broadcast the Dallas Cowboys. Is that why you're here? Because we broadcast
yeah,
the
course.
Dallas Cowboys?
Yes. Yes. That Kansas City game. First of all, you asked a question about Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid is finally maybe the guy that can get things turned around in Kansas City and take him back to the, you know, those old school days of winning.
It's been 9 months. Finally, we agree on one thing, one time. Andy Reid, I think, is an outstanding coach. Did a great job with the Philadelphia Eagles. I believe he led that team to 5 conference championships. And one time, they actually made it through to the Super Bowl before losing to the best team on the planet, the New England Patriots. No shame in losing to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But the fact that Andy Reid is with the Chiefs, the fact that they have Jamal Charles, an outstanding running back, a pretty good offensive line, a much improved defense. They've been very active in free agency, and per the draft coming up here, they're going to have one of the top picks. So this team, based on the fact they're in a weak division with one big fat exception, they do have to play the Broncos twice.
Well, and hats off to the Chiefs for actually making a move to go out and get a real head coach. You know, with all due respect, their last two head coaches, Todd Haley and Romeo Crennel, great coaches, but better coordinators than head coaches. So I think that really showed their willingness and wantingness to take it up a notch by going to get somebody like Andy Reid.
That division, it's interesting with the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Raiders. Just not much faith in the Raiders with their decision-making. The Chargers, what a debacle. This team is an absolute embarrassment. And I'm talking about management. Good news for Charger fans. Norv Turner is gone. You only made the decision 5 years too late. How did this team not make the playoffs for 3 consecutive seasons?
Well, that team's a mess. I think that team is a mess. Because of the same... I mean, give me two reasons. Give me one reason why they haven't gone further.
Norv Turner.
Beyond that.
Two reasons. One, Norv Turner. Number two, see number one.
No, there's another reason there.
Well, Phillip Rivers has led the league in turnovers, INTs, and fumbles. He's the Michael Vick
that's,
of the
that's
AFC.
All yes, and that's all I wanted you to say because, again, I don't understand why. You know, sometimes I guess when it's right in front of you, you don't see it. And I don't understand why Phillip Rivers gets so much credit. But, like, Tony... This is not coming from
it's going to be a Cowboy
This
comment?
Is not coming from a Cowboys fan. This is a legitimate statement about Tony Romo. Tony Romo takes a beating. Whether he wins or loses, it all comes
on
his
shoulders. Well, that comes with the position.
Philip Rivers does not take half the beating Tony Romo does, and Philip Rivers cost San Diego many more games than Romo has.
Coaching decisions. I mean, there was a fluke. I realized the Ravens converted a 4th and 29 in San Diego on the Chargers' home field to lose a game. How is that possible? I don't even look to blame Norv Turner for that. I blame Norv Turner for everything. If there was a way I could blame him for the Boston Marathon debacle, I would blame him. This guy is a horrific coach. I mean, he's had talent everywhere he's been. The one thing that he was able to do, your America's team,
right,
narcissistic
again,
cowboy team,
yes,
he was a very good offensive coordinator.
There you go.
But not a good coach for the Redskins, not a good coach for the Chargers. And what I thought was funny was management stood behind him, always gave him a vote of confidence, and then what did Norv Turner do? He took a shot at them when he was fired. He said, this team won't make the playoffs next year.
Well, look, Norv Turner is another Romeo Crennel and Todd Haley. Look, you have guys in every sport, mainly football, because that's where it tends to happen the most, is those guys get promoted from within and coordinators become head coaches. But you have a group of guys that are great coordinators. You know, I hate to say it, but I'm really starting to feel that Jason Garrett also falls under that same umbrella, that they really get it done as coordinators, but once you give them the reins to the team, they just don't have what it takes to lead the team as the head coach. Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, you know, Andy Reid, those guys are head football coaches. These other guys, I just don't think they have the chops.
We talked about Andy Reid being the new coach of the Kansas City Chiefs after having a lot of success in Philadelphia before they basically ran him out of town. Going to be fun when the Chiefs, I believe it's week 3, they're in Philly taking on the Eagles. Chip Kelly, new coach, fast-paced game, fast-paced team, fast-paced coach, University of Oregon. Do you think he can parlay that style of play into Philly?
Fast-paced losses. I'm excited for that. Everybody's like that. They're trying to build this up as some new thing. Brent Celek is trying to sell it, you know, saying the league has never seen anything like this. All right, whatever. The league has seen this before, and it's only going to work for so long. First of all, did we forget
Steve Spurrier?
Yes, for one, that worked in preseason, and then he got lit up when the season actually started.
And I think that's because there are no Sisters of Mary in the NFL.
Yes.
Well, the Cowboys, maybe.
Good. And they've got, you have Michael Vick as your quarterback, maybe. I mean, how do you have Nick Foles, like, which is it? You know, Nick Foles does not fit the guidelines of the quarterback that they need in that system.
I think it's a good
for
problem
Chip Kelly.
To have. You have not one, but two.
But you don't,
starting
because
quarterbacks, or you have two backups.
You don't have two quarterbacks that are good for that system. You don't have two quarterbacks that are the same for that system. You understand that? Mike Vick can run that system.
So you're saying he's bringing in the system regardless of who he has to run the system. He's going to make the quarterbacks adjust to his system.
What I'm saying is it doesn't matter what he has, because Mike Vick, have we forgotten all the turnovers last year? And you can blame
the
line or whatever. Yes. But Mike Vick is the quarterback that fits in this new fast-paced offense. Nick Foles is not that kind of quarterback.
Right, he's more of a drop-back passer.
Yes.
As opposed to Vick, he can run, he can pass, and he can fumble, and he can throw INT.
Right, right.
All right, well, we're going to keep it moving. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. The studio line is open. We would love to field some questions on sports betting, 702-221-7283. That's 702-221-7283. Keep the live chat questions coming up and running on Vegas Video Network. That's right, we're live and worldwide. My name's Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, I'm featured all over my own website, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, Tim Donahue's site, RefPicks.com. I'm running out of .coms. I'm joined by Anthony Padilla, good buddy, very funny man. Headlines at LVH, spelled just the way it sounds. Comedy After Dark, 10 o'clock, Las Vegas. How's the comedy show going? I understand you were heckled, more so than you have been here this morning.
Yeah, you know, that's just part of the game. Unfortunately, and that's the thing. It doesn't matter how long you do it. It just happens sometimes. But it's fun nonetheless, right?
It's always a challenge. I've noticed my way of thinking. I do stand-up comedy on the Strip every Saturday night, Bally's Hotel Casino, L.A. Comedy Club. And when you come across a heckler, I'm used to it in the sports book because people are always saying, why did you bet that team?
Let's be honest. You're used to it at the comedy as well.
Well, yeah, it goes, as you say, it goes with the territory.
It
but the question is, anyone who has done comedy, it goes with the territory. The question is, how do you handle it? How do you respond to it? My way of thinking is, a drunk heckler does not know. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. The idea is they think they're helping the show, and you can't rationalize with a drunk.
Well, you can't rationalize with a heckler, period, drunk or sober, although 95% of them are drunk. But you've got a lot of different kinds. That's the thing. And there's the people – like, what people don't understand is if you're interjecting at all, you're heckling. You're not. You're never adding to the value of the show. If that were the case, we would pay you to come in every night and be a part of the show. But you're not needed. You're appreciated for being there. But just sit back and enjoy the show, you know. And you know, I mean, you've performed many places as well. It's just – it is part of the deal. You don't know when it's going to happen. It doesn't matter if you're Eddie Murphy or, you know, one of us. It happens. It never stops. But it's never fun. And I've always wondered, you know, a lot of times people say, well, how do you do comedy? I'm sure you people tell you that as well. And it's like, well, how do you go to a show and interrupt it? You know, how are you that person?
You wouldn't do that at a rock concert or at an Air Supply concert. Even though you probably should interrupt
that
show.
And we just lost our listeners.
All right.
People try. Absolutely. Even rock concerts get heckled in a manner of speaking.
But the guitar
it's
player
different.
Will out-drown
yes.
the heckler.
Yes.
Where doing stand-up comedy, you're on an island by yourself. And if it's not working, everyone knows. You don't have a backup singer who has your back.
You can't over-talk them.
Right.
Because then it's just a shouting match.
But my final question before we move on is, how do you handle a heckler? My way of thinking is knowing that they don't realize they think they're helping the show because they're drunk or they're just having fun and they're ignorant. They don't know any better. To have fun with it, to be lighthearted, you can't ignore it. You do have to address it, and you can turn it around and use it to your advantage. Again, the crowd, you build tension, and then the crowd ultimately is on your side.
Well, the crowd is always on your side. Sometimes that's easy to forget, but sometimes you don't have the opportunity. You know, there's different situations when people heckle. I mean, there's the times where you just can't get them to stop. You know, like me on this show every week, I just wait for the hour to end and I leave. I can't get you to stop, so I wait for it.
Oh, you're talking about me now,
right?
Oh, okay.
But other times, you know, always try. Look,
I think I'm being heckled right now.
If you can engage that person, and if you can win that person over, you've already got the crowd on your side. But now if you get that person, if you win them over, you know, that'll be the person to go talk about the show.
I'm trying to think, and we're wrapping this up now, but you told me before we went on the air that you were being heckled last night, and you asked for security to escort these people out, and the security wouldn't help. So I'm guessing, were they heckling you too?
Okay, one thing I've learned here is never to have a private conversation with you about anything. Either that or, like, you're just so upset that I win on this show every week that you're like, you know what, I'm just going to throw you under the bus on the show today. Again, you can't really describe it. No, it wasn't. There was no security involved, okay? Now you're like our news outlets reporting what's going on in Boston. You're just making stuff up. It was just a situation where some people didn't do their job, and I was
did
on stage.
Did the ushers,
with the,
I stand corrected, I said security, but did the ushers watching you being heckled and you told them, please get these people out?
Well, I never said those
do?
Words. I would never say those words. You would never say those words on stage. You would never say, hey, can you remove these people? Because you also don't want to be the bad guy. It's their job to be the bad guy.
And yet they chose to, they kind of enjoyed you being heckled?
Like
they
on this
kind
show,
of
it's clearly it's your job to not only throw me under the bus.
I have to do something because it's really starting to annoy me. It's 1974. I'm pretty sure it's the last time Anthony picked a loser. ATS against the spread. I've had a very good year. College and pro football, college and pro basketball, only to be outpicked by some dude who watches ESPN, comes in here and picks winners. It's pretty annoying,
see,
I have to say.
Again, only you paint that picture. So the fact that you don't give me enough respect, that's why it's so bad for you. I watch more sports than you. So really, you shouldn't feel so bad that I pick winners. You should
be
glad.
I've been doing this for 30 years, and I pride myself on not watching games. My work is done once the game starts, and I realize that maybe you don't have a life, so you enjoy watching someone else.
No, what I don't have is 7 computers to sit in front of all day.
What's wrong with that?
Well, look,
he with the most information wins.
Apparently not.
There are flukes. There are anomalies, a la Anthony Padilla. But I'm trying to give you a compliment here, and you just continue to heckle the host.
I'm going to make you two hold hands if you don't stop this.
Oh, wait. God has spoken. The executive producer, Scott Whitney, has said, keep it moving. And when Scott speaks, we listen. Let's keep it moving. How's that for an original thought? NBA first round playoffs. No NBA yesterday. No NBA today. We have the first round of the games going on Saturday and Sunday. Let's go ahead and preview those. Saturday, 12 o'clock noon Las Vegas time, we have the Celtics taking on the New York Knickerbockers. The total for this game is 190.5. Knicks favored by 7. Amari Stoudemire questionable. If I'm the Knicks, keep this guy on the bench. $100 million contract. Are you kidding me? I don't know why, but Amari Stoudemire annoys me. This guy has God-given ability and talent, yet the numbers, sometimes you don't have to know why. It is what it is. The Knicks started out like a house on fire. Stoudemire, nowhere to be found. Once he became healthy and started playing, he's a turnover machine. And the one thing the Knicks don't do when he's not in the lineup is they don't turn the ball over. Carmelo Anthony is the man. Question, can these two guys coexist? I say no. So Amari Stoudemire, again, once he got hurt, second half of the season, the Knicks went on to win something like 13, 14 consecutive games. So again, Knicks favored by 7 at home against the Boston Celtics. Your thoughts?
We talked about this last week and a little bit the week before. You know, with what the Knicks are doing right now, I think that they've just got actually, I'm going to bring something up here that I know you're going to hate. Now with what's going on in Boston.
The latest episode of the Golden Girls that you watched on TV?
Hold on here. Now what's going on in Boston, does this give them some kind of added, you don't like this kind of stuff when people talk about teams having other, like those kind of intangibles. You know, is Boston now playing for something more?
Well, first of all, the game's not in Boston.
That
it's
doesn't
in
matter.
New York.
Yeah, but it's the playoffs.
Well, I do respect the fact a day or two ago, the Boston Bruins, I mean, as Brett talked about yesterday, 20,000 fans singing God Bless America or the Star-Spangled Banner in terms of unison. So that's kind of a cool, feel-good story. But one has nothing to do with the other. I mean, and I don't ever confuse the two. I mean, we're talking about sports, which has nothing to do with the debacle going on.
So are you
going to
tell people in Boston when they're watching these games, trying to get their mind off of this, that the team is not playing for them? And it has nothing to do with what's
going on. Why would you say that? And so you're going to say that they're playing for the fans of Boston, then they go out and lose by 30? What does that say? Why would you do that? Why would you put added pressure on your team?
I don't. That's what society does. When Kevin Ware just got hurt for Louisville, what became their thing? We're now playing for him. So what if you lose?
Long before Ware got hurt, they were the odds-on favorite to win.
It doesn't matter.
I would rather rely on a full-court press and a good coach and a good team as opposed to some Again, professional sports betting has to do with being objective and being an independent thinker. Emotions cloud judgment. You do not listen to your heart when it comes to sports betting. That's an expensive proposition.
But in certain situations, does it play a factor?
More
so than others.
I'm not convinced it does. Here's what's going to happen. The media types will say it does if the Celtics respond extremely well. But again, objectively, one has nothing to do with the other. So the Celtics are on the road taking on the New York Knickerbockers. The Knicks are favored by 7, the total 190.5. The game 2 on Saturday, we have the Golden State Warriors taking on the Denver Nuggets. I think both of these teams, I mean, they're two good feel-good stories. The Warriors, the total is 210.5. The Nuggets at home favored by 7.5 points. These two teams mirror one another in terms of being a run-and-gun type team. That's great. In December. Does not bode well in April, May during the playoffs when we're talking about slowdown, knockdown, drag out, we're playing in mud. You have to rely on defense. Fact is, both of these teams suck on the road. They're very good home teams. Denver Nuggets lost 3 games all year at home, Mile High Stadium, or Mile High Arena. The thing I look at here with the Nuggets is they don't have a single all-star on their team, and yet that does not bode well. History has a way of repeating itself. Teams that do not have an all-star on their team in the playoffs, something like 12-58 in their last 70 contests. But they will beat the Golden State Warriors because Golden State, they are a finesse team. Steph Curry can knock down the 3-ball. You live by the 3, you die by it. It's going to fall in Oakland at home. But in Denver, high altitude, thin air, you're going to see some low shooting percentages for the Warriors. So I like the Nuggets to win that series going away.
I like Golden State, man. Steph Curry is a beast. Like, that is a bad dude right there.
Let's put up some money. I'll take the Nuggets. You can have the Warriors for the series. How's that?
Yeah,
how about
of
if
course.
You lose, you shave your head? Oh, no, wait. You've already done that.
How about you shave your head?
I'll shave. That's just how confident I am. I'll shave my head if the Golden State Warriors knock off the Nuggets.
All right, we got that. Everybody, we got that, right? We've got it on video and audio. So
never mind, I'll be betting the series for a dime or two. I'll be more concerned about having to shave my head.
I will reshave my head. I'm not worried about losing. Lose? What if I lose? I don't lose. Have we not learned that?
All right. Yeah, we need to think about this as far as what you're going to do when the Golden State Warriors. I'm willing to man up and say I'll shave my head if the Warriors win. They have no shot against the Denver Nuggets in a 7-game series. And then we'll think about what you're going to do. Game 3 on Saturday, we have the Chicago Bulls on the road taking on the New Jersey Nets. How does the Chicago Bulls coach not get consideration for Coach of the Year? This guy, without their best player, Derrick Rose, just continues to be in the thick of it. They were hit hard with injuries, yet ended up being the fifth seed. The Brooklyn Nets make it Brooklyn, not New Jersey. I don't know if you knew this, Anthony, but they did move from New Jersey to Brooklyn. I'm not a big fan of Deron Williams. He's overhyped, overrated. Lopez, I like the guy. Gerald Wallace, I like him. As far as the Nets go, PJ Carlissimo, I mean, he's a decent coach, not a great coach. I mean, Latrell Sprewell didn't think he was a very good coach. He thought he was a big choker. Remember that? He choked the guy? Latrell Sprewell. I love telling this story. He was a good player. Not great, but a good player. At latter stages of his career playing for the Minnesota T-Wolves, he turned down a 3-year, $14 million contract by saying, "I have a family to feed." Are you kidding me? Where are you taking your kids to eat? The airport? The movie theater? I have a family to feed. $14 million contract he turned down never to play pro football. Actually, not only did he not play pro football, he never played pro basketball again.
Well, I'll tell you you've got two teams here. You've got the Bulls, which I don't really know what's going on with Rose. I mean, every other athlete that's had that knee injury, especially and football players, where they're not only running into, you know what I mean? It's they're always cutting on it, doing a lot of stuff. And I understand basketball, you're constantly stopping and starting. But don't you feel like he should have been back by now? And I know that it's on him, but I don't understand why every other athlete takes such a beating by the public and media if they don't come back shortly after. Derrick Rose has been playing 3-on-3 for the past 2 months, and he looks fine and everything. But when they ask him, he's like, "I'm not ready." And I am starting to quit. And I understand, like, it just doesn't make sense to me because he always has been known as a guy who leaves it all out on the court. But I'm really wondering, like, what is it about this? There's got to be something more to it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a little bit surprised that he hasn't manned up a little bit more. And again, far be it for me to question the guy's manhood because only he knows how he feels. But bottom line is the team, without him, rallied around the city of Chicago, and they are in the playoffs, so it's time for him to perhaps step up. But they've been very patient with this guy, and again, only he knows how he feels. But can you imagine Kobe Bryant taking this long on an injury like that? Kobe Bryant is a warrior.
Kobe Bryant, I'm starting to feel, will be back from his Achilles surgery before Derrick Rose with his knee injury.
Starting to wonder the same thing.
You know,
right?
And the thing about this, you've got a Bulls team who took down the Heat on their streak, you know, and then the Knicks on their streak. And now they're going in to face the Nets, but the Nets have their own issues. You've got Chris Humphries coming fresh off that divorce, and you've got no more Jay-Z. So the Nets are trying to find their way in life.
Chris Humphries going through a divorce? What does that have to do with beating the point spread? This is news to me.
Are you kidding? If he could handle a Kardashian, he can handle the Bulls.
Saturday night, the last game, 7:30, the Memphis Grizzlies take on the LA Clippers, a rematch of the first round from a year ago. What a war it was a year ago. I actually liked the Memphis Grizzlies, but the Clippers took them down in 7 games this year. The Clippers have home court, and I'm not sold on this Clipper team. I love CP3. I love Blake Griffin. I love Jamal Crawford. Come to think of it, I'm starting to like this team. Now, the problem with the Clippers, they don't rebound. We do broadcast their games 1, 2, 3, and 4 here on KSHP AM 1400 radio. Be sure and tune in. I like Lob City, but that does not work when you're on the road and you're playing playoff basketball. It's a half-court game, and no one plays a half-court game better than the Memphis Grizzlies. This team, again, love their coach, Zach Randolph, the last game of the year against the Utah Jazz, 25 points, 19 rebounds. The guy is a man amongst boys. But Memphis, they're on the road. They have no bench. They're thin. I like the Clippers to win this series.
Yeah, you know what? I feel exactly the way you do, and I think this will be actually a fun matchup to
watch.
You're
hungry right now?
A little bit. What Memphis did, I was impressed with what Memphis did against Utah in that final game, because although Utah certainly didn't play like they were trying to get in the playoffs, they were trying to get in the playoffs. Let's not forget that. In fact, Utah decided, I credit Utah for blowing it more than I credit the Lakers for winning it over the past two weeks, because Utah had at one point, what, a 4.5 game lead on the Lakers with like 9 games left. So, you know, I don't so much fancy what the Lakers did, but that was the perfect summation of what they did in the last 2 weeks. And Memphis, in that game, knowing they didn't really need to win it, knowing, you know, we can keep Utah out, still just put their foot on their throat, you know, and they looked really good in that game. And the Clippers, just like you said, you know, unfortunately, that type of offense in a series like this generally doesn't go very far, but they are still fun to watch. I would like the Clippers, but I actually think the Grizzlies have a good chance of winning the series.
I'm going to mark this down because you're out of your league. I'm going with the Clippers. You're going with the Grizzlies. No, none of this shaving head crap. I'm going with the Nuggets. Boy, that's a big bet now. And Golden State. Come on, Nuggets! I'm really putting my faith in a team that doesn't have a single all-star. We're going to have to come up with something good for you because you do have the... You have the Golden State Warriors. Okay, cool. Now,
all right, I'll tell you what. If I lose, then for a month straight, I will do the show with you 3 days a week.
Wow. You're going to be able to get out of bed?
Well, it's going to be rough, but if it helps save the show, then I'll do what I have to do.
Sunday, we'll go through these games quickly. The Atlanta Hawks taking on the Indiana Pacers. Game one, the Pacers are favored by 6.5. The total for this game is 186. There's a team in the Eastern Conference in the Western Conference, I do not like or respect the Dallas Mavericks. I love Mark Cuban, their owner. I'm just not a big Dirk Nowitzki fan. He's soft. I'm not a big fan. Vince Carter passed it. In the Eastern Conference, there's a team that's another fraud. Josh Smith and the Atlanta Hawks are a complete fraud. The Indiana Pacers, I love this team. They play hard. They bring it every night. They're a great defensive team, well coached. I love this team, and I'd be surprised if the Atlanta Hawks can give them a series.
I have no opinion on this series because neither of these teams are going beyond the first round. I mean, going beyond the second round, whoever wins it, so I don't care.
Well, the Atlanta Hawks, in my opinion, have no shot against the Indiana Pacers. And then the next round, I mean, the Western Conference, number 2 against number 7, I'm talking about the Laker girls. They have no shot against the San Antonio Spurs. Forget the fact that the Spurs lost 7 of 10 games. Watch and learn, my friends. Watch and learn. The San Antonio Spurs are healthy, with the exception of Boris Diaw. Not to be confused with Doris Diaw. It's Boris Diaw. That's the one dude that will not play early, but he should be available here in a couple 3 weeks in the second and or third round of the playoffs. Now, the Lakers, the fact that they won 8 of their last 9 games, congratulations, they're without their best player. Their last 2 games they won without Kobe Bryant. But that was then, this is now. The Spurs are healthy, they're hungry, they're not in a very good mood. So I'm saying the Lakers, they finished 16 games under their win total for the season. 16 wins. Less than what they were projected to win.
Yeah, I'm not getting into the Lakers right now because that's my, are you kidding me? And I've got some serious reservations about that team.
Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Miami Heat. No one's going to beat Miami. Don't listen to the talking
heads. I don't know. I think I got the
ESPN.
Bucks in this one.
Yeah, okay, great. All right. It's like taking candy.
Yeah, I'll go
from
with the Bucks in 5.
You haven't made such a bad bet since you said the Warriors will beat the Nuggets. But yeah, okay, the Heat, obviously favored by 13 points, a total 199. The other game in the Eastern Conference, first round, the Houston Rockets, total 213.5 on the road, taking on the Thunder of Oklahoma City. So the top 2 seeds in the Western Conference, the San Antonio Spurs favored by 9, the Oklahoma City Thunder favored by 10. These two teams on a collision course, wow, it's going to be fun. Western Conference Finals, don't even bother to tune into these NBA playoffs for the first 5-6 weeks because just tune in the latter part of May for the Western Conference Finals when the San Antonio Spurs upset the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to keep things moving with a segment we like to call, Do We Have a Wheel Anywhere to Be Found? Okay, maybe we should rehearse this show every once in a while. Anthony Padilla, spin to win. This is a part of the show where we hone in on one game, and I'm going to be forced to argue why this might present some value. Anthony automatically has to take the other side, which he pretty much does on a day-to-day basis. Anyway, we have the Detroit Tigers taking on the Los Angeles Angels. We have Hansen going for the Angels. We have Sanchez going for the Tigers. And the over-under on this game is 8.5. The sports bettor knows that you bet with your head, never with your heart. We have to make an argument as we spin to win. The Tigers taking on the Angels, the total 8.5. I guess I'm going with Red Rover. Red Rover, I love the over. Now, the Tigers have won 9 of 16, actually 9 of 15. The Angels have been a big, fat disappointment. History has a way of repeating itself. They were a disappointing team a year ago, not even making the playoffs. Got off to a slow start. Off to a slow start again. They're 4-10. The Hansen going for the Angels. If you look at the pitching matchup, it's kind of interesting. Sanchez came on strong last year as the Tigers made it to the World Series. They won the American League pennant. He's off to a good start. 2-0. He earned run average of 1.42. That's nice. But the real key to comparing pitchers from a sports betting standpoint is the whip factor. Walks, hits per innings pitched. And this guy is unbelievable. Less than one, 0.95. Other side of the ledger, Angels. Hansen, not too impressive. 1-1 at this point. Earned run average of 6.55. Whip, 1.45. Red Rover. I love the over because the Angels can hit. Don't like their pitching. Over it is.
I know I've only been gone a week, but did we change this? That we're not doing teams for baseball. We're doing over under.
It depends on the day. Depends on the mood.
Depends on what.
Depends
got
on your haircut. You know, a lot's changed in the last week. You're wearing one earring instead of two. You shaved your head. What else are you not telling
Al has been replaced.
Al? Yes. What happened to Al? Something you said would be my guess.
I guess. All right. Well, if I'm going with the under, then that's easy. I'm looking at these matchups here. First of all, Anibal Sanchez is a stud, man. I love watching this guy pitch. He's one of those guys that you can turn on a Detroit game.
What is it
game.
You like about him? Is he a Cowboy fan or something?
No, he's a quality pitcher that isn't. In his last game against Oakland, he went 7 strong, gave up 1 earned run. Hansen, look, here's why. You said it's 8.5?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Hansen, in his last start against Houston, gave up 5 earned runs in 5 innings. The Angels, I believe right now they're 4-10. This offense, this high powered, almost billion-dollar offense, is putting up little league runs. You know, and that's not going to get it done against the Tigers. The Tigers have the offense, and that's where all the runs are going to come from. So I see this being like a 5-1 game because I don't see the Angels turning it around against Detroit, and I don't really know when they're going to do it. I mean, I thought they would have already started to do it, and they're not.
Well, the Angels, along with the other L.A. team, the Dodgers, have been a major disappointment. But, again, that's why we play 162 games. It's early. Rest assured, I really believe the Angels will be there in the end, although I am concerned about their pitching and now their ace, Jared Weaver, gone for a few more weeks. Dodgers, too much talent, pitching, hitting. I think they'll be there. A concern, as long as they don't have to play the Padres, the Dodgers have a pretty good shot. We're going to keep things moving on the Odds Couple. Thanks, Anthony. A man, a few words. We'll come back. You're listening to the Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Las Vegas, Nevada. Simulcast live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera, broadcast-quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to the Odds Couple on Vegas Video Network, live and worldwide, and simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. We would love for you to reach out to us here on the Odds Couple. You can do that by emailing us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to hear your voice on our show through web-based voicemail. Go to our site, right-hand side, red bar, click, middle of the page, green bar, hit start recording. We do have live chat up and running. If you do miss us live, no worries. Check us out, YouTube, iTunes, Vegas Video Network, and Roku. My name is Scott Pritchard, joined by Anthony Padilla. Together, we are the Odds Couple. Sports betting, sports, you don't have to look far to find frustration. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Al wasn't here to start the show, and now he is. Are you kidding me? Life just got better.
As good as it's been, it's about to get even better thanks to our good buddy Al.
Yes.
Did we say 10 or 10:42?
I was like, man, I'm only here once a week. But he is here, and I am happy now, which calms me down a little bit for what I specifically have to talk about. We were talking about the Lakers a minute ago. I said I didn't want to talk about that just yet, and here's why. I hate that they made it to the playoffs. They're going to lose, but I hate it because of the fact that Kobe tweeted out 2 weeks before the season ended, we'll make the playoffs. And then as soon as they got in, I told y'all, now it's on to the next thing. There's, dude, you're in as a 7 seed, and you're in because other teams choked. This is what, let me recap the Lakers season for you. Mike Brown gets fired 5 games in when the Lakers start 1-4. Everybody goes, oh, well, now what are we going to do? I can't believe we had Mike Brown. This is ridiculous. The Lakers are 1-4. We're in tremendous turmoil right now. This has never been seen. Well, who are we going to get? Okay, maybe Phil Jackson? No, let's bring in Mike D'Antoni. What? Why do we bring him in? Nobody likes him. Kobe wasn't happy. Phil Jackson was being a little girl about it, saying stuff, and, oh, I can't believe this, and nobody's happy with that. Then you've got Paul Gasol arguing with Kobe. Then Kobe doesn't get along with Dwight Howard. Nobody likes Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard doesn't like Dwight Howard. He doesn't want to play. He gets accused of not playing hard enough. Then, oh, I should have stayed in Orlando. Why are you saying that? Oh, well, maybe we can do this. In the meantime, Mike D'Antoni's trying to figure it out. They go further and further behind. Oh, well, now Mike D'Antoni's gone 4-10 with him in his first 14 games. Now what are we going to do? I can't believe we hired him. This Lakers team is a mess. Magic Johnson is saying, man, I'm going to the Dodgers. Forget you guys. You don't know how to win anymore. This isn't the Lakers team I played for. The whole season, just nothing but at each other's throats. And then as it gets closer, Kobe tweets, hey, don't worry, we'll get in the playoffs. And then they get in, and 2 games left, all of a sudden, it's like none of that happened. And everybody's just acting like they've gelled, and everybody got along. And yes, this is where, no, you know what? I hope they get swept. Are you kidding me?
It's reasonable that they will get swept taking on the best coach, Greg Popovich. Pop knows best. San Antonio Spurs healthy. Look out. Are you kidding me? I want to talk about Brittany Griner. She's gay. I don't care. Are you kidding me? Why is this news? Why do we have to report on things like this? I don't care who she's sleeping with. Are you kidding me?
I don't think she's sleeping with anybody. She's just saying who she would like to sleep with.
Is that what it is?
That's what my guess is. You know, I have a problem with this, Scott, because when she came out yesterday or a couple days ago, I mean officially, you know, she said, I've never really been hiding it. You should be proud of who you are. And she said that she was just addressing it because now it was specifically being asked. I'm guessing it's been asked before. And then she went on to say how, you know, you can't worry about what people are going to say. They're going to say it anyways. Oh, really, Brittany? Then how come you waited till after you were drafted to come out? I mean, if it's all about being who you are, then why didn't you come out when you were in college?
I have a question. In the NFL, there's been some debate if a gay player comes out, would you be comfortable with him being in the same locker room with you? So I guess my question is, knowing that the Dallas Mavericks are considering possibly drafting Griner, would the players be okay knowing that she's gay?
Well, considering she wouldn't make it past the first probably day of tryouts. Look,
a bit sexist.
All locker rooms, oh well, call it what you want. All locker rooms are the same. You're going to get the guys who are going to come to the forefront and say, I'm speaking on behalf and we'll be all right. You're still going to have guys in every locker room who are going, I don't want that next to me. So it doesn't matter.
I guess you'd have some guys that would be jumping rope and other guys that perhaps would be skipping rope.
Well, I mean, you can't compare like the WNBA to, I mean, there's a lot of lesbians in the WNBA.
Is that right?
They're out. So I don't know that you can compare locker rooms.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network, simulcast live Monday through Friday, 10 a. to 11 a. on KSHP AM 1400 radio. I'm pumped. I'm excited. This is the part of the show where Anthony and I will put money into your pocket. And when I say Anthony and I specifically mean Anthony, as we together put you on the right side.
Is how much of the right side that I am on right now. I mean, I'm going to ride this high. Scott, first of all, going back to last week, once again, winner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. You were the winner. I had the chicken dinner.
You've had quite a few.
Yes, I have.
I'm on such a streak right now of winning. You remember when our friend from the New England Patriots went out and decided to do the whole partying
caricature
thing? No, when he came out and he partied and he broke his forearm and he did
oh,
all of
Gronkowski,
that stuff.
Oh, Gronkowski, the tight end.
Yes, and remember right afterwards when he wore the shirt, sorry for partying and all of that? Sorry for partying is now following me on Twitter. Apparently they've caught wind that all I do is win, and that's what we like to do as winners is party, and I will not apologize for partying or winning, but this week, man, I got to be honest. I'm going with the baseball game. And the transition periods sometimes are tough for me. This week I'm actually going with the Braves and the Pirates. I believe the over-under is 7 or 8. I think it changed right before the show.
It wouldn't change that much.
It did for me because I don't remember what it was.
Well,
either way,
got word of
actually,
what side you like and it moved?
It doesn't matter because I'm going with the right side for me on this game is the under, and this is why. Because you've got Tim Hudson looking for win number 200, which I feel like history shows any time you've got a pitcher going for a milestone victory, they don't tend to get it the first time. In fact, they tend to get beat up a little bit, you know, and for whatever reason that is. But you've got a really, really good Braves team, 13-2 Atlanta Braves team. And you remember prior to the season, the Braves were my pick to win it all.
Yeah, you also like the D-backs, so do you want to talk about that?
No, I like the D-backs, but you remember you specifically
yeah,
asked
that was
me.
A good call. I like the Nationals, yeah. And I still do, but yeah. I do respect the Braves. But, yeah, they're off to a great start.
Sure, and you've got a struggling Pittsburgh team that's still trying to find their way. It's good, though. I think it's not a bad Pittsburgh team. That you know they're putting something together there. It's a young team, and I think it's possible they've got a future, but it's not right now. And with the two pitchers that you've got going head-to-head here, you know, Tim Hudson, who, again, is going for win number 200, and you've got on the opposite side Wandy Rodriguez making his first start since April 8th, coming off a hamstring injury. Very good pitcher, but I don't think that he's got enough to beat the Braves, you know, his first start back. And as far as the runs go, you do have two quality pitchers that I understand this is how it always goes. It's going to be one or the other. But I look for this game to either be really high scoring or like a 2-1 type game or a 3-1 type game. Or they get to the bullpens quick and it turns into like a 7-5 type deal. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I'm just saying that possibility is there given the circumstances. But I think the Braves are going to go away with this one. And again, the right side for me is the under plus the 7.
Based on the pitching matchup, wow. I mean, Hudson against Rodriguez, I mean, whip factor 1.00 for Hudson. Rodriguez 0.56, so under 7 certainly makes sense. I just starting to question it because you also like the under in that game. And I, you know, again, you've been a machine, but you are human. It's amazing the run, the streak. I'd like to talk about my record, but it pales in comparison compared to Anthony Padilla's. I pride myself on being a 55-60% handicapper. I've certainly had losing seasons. I've never had a losing year. Now, I will say that I'm looking at a game today, baseball game as well. We don't have any NBA basketball. I seldom step out on hockey. I will bet a hockey total every now and again. Yankees are on the road taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. Andy Pettit going for the Yankees, the star lefty against Morrow. And I look at this pitching matchup. Pettit, 1.20 ERA, whip of 1.13. Morrow, 4.60 ERA. and a whip of 1.66. So again, oftentimes it's not who is starting, it's who finishes the game and or the middle relievers, the back end of your bullpen. I look at this game, the total for this game, the Yankees taking on the Blue Jays, it opened 8.5. That was last night when I bet it. This morning, and it's 8. The money has come in on the under. I mean, I'm playing the under, okay? I can tell you I played under 8.5. It's 8 today. You try not to compromise value. Anthony's total is 7. It's not 8, under 7 in his contest. The Atlanta Braves taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates, a National League game. We talked before, 7 is a key total in the National League. 9 is a key total in the American League. We have some injury concerns for the Yankees and the Blue Jays, and I also look at this pitching matchup. I think my right side under the 8. Unfortunately, unlike Red Rover, I like the over. I have not been able to come up with alliteration or a rhyming that goes with under other than to say, it's a big fat winner. Winner, chicken dinner, under 8. See the cashier.
I am really excited looking at this Dallas Cowboys schedule.
Why? They're in a tough division this year. Washington's improved. Philadelphia will be improved. Every year.
Every year the NFC East is tough.
And it's tough to predict. Last year, as an example, the Washington Redskins were projected to finish last. They finished first. They went from worst to first.
You know what? Let's get back to baseball real quick because, as you said something, it reminded me. The Yankees. ESPN, do we have to put the Yankees on every game?
Have you heard that New York is a big market city? Have you heard that?
Yeah, I understand.
Los Angeles as well?
Have you heard that this is national?
You want to watch the Kansas City Royals every week, every night?
Well, I don't know. Is baseball trying to draw a broader scope, or are we focusing on the Yankees? It's not even the Yankees of 5 years ago. This is a team without Derek Jeter that's winning one out of two games. Like they're not the Yankees anymore. I would rather see but that's not the point. The point is,
is there a point?
There's 28 other teams. It's fine if we put somebody else on Sunday night or Wednesday night baseball every now and then.
Anthony Padilla, great
to
have you with us.
I'd like to see a Royals-Pirates game.
You and nobody else would like to see
even
that.
Kansas City and Pittsburgh are like, just play the Yankees.
Anthony, great having you with us.
Always
Anthony Padilla is with us every Friday.
Here.
What are you doing this weekend, Hard Charger?
Well, I don't like to toot my own winning horn, but tomorrow is my birthday, so celebration
Happy
time.
Birthday. You look good for 60.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, you're listening to The Odds Couple. Jacob Cannon, executive producer here at The Odds Couple. His birthday as well. So happy birthday to both of you. For Anthony Padilla, I'm Scott Pritchard. Check me out, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, and RefPicks.com.
See ya.